this morning. We'll turn that off because y'all don't want me.
Hey, Ronnie.
And that, I'm loud enough without it.
Ronnie.
Yes, sir.
Blaine's got something to tell you. He was thinking.
Well,
just speak it on out, brother.
I'm not a good speaker.
Hey, you all right. Go for it.
20 years ago, I come.
Help him more.
Thank you. I come to visit Ronnie. Mm-hmm. Not him to church.
That's right.
Ooh, amen.
That's right.
And I seen him lead somebody in the Lord that didn't know anything about Jesus. And it was like overwhelmed. It was like shocked. And 20 years later, I seen Elton Rainey do the same thing.
About
2 or 3 weeks ago.
Something's coming
full circle.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Give God some praise. Amen. Amen. I'm so, you know, I'm overwhelmed with you, brother, of how God's so good. We all grew up together, you know, from his mother was our school teacher in elementary school, and such a special family, and we're glad he's with us this morning. Amen. Him and his daughter, and we're just so excited you're here, brother. And that means a lot. I remember that day just like it was yesterday, even the truck we rode in.
Yep,
little Ford powered 302, wasn't it?
Yep. God, a lot of praise
God. Men remember stuff like that, and but it was special. God had just moved in my life, and the circumstances is just overwhelming to think about it. But I'm glad everybody's here today, too. You know why? Because God's glad that you're here, too. And there's a reason, and I believe today it's going to be a little different. I don't know what God wants to do. You know, we're different. We ain't like most churches. We're just liable to get up and somebody else is liable to preach beside me. Last week we had 3 preachers, right?
Yeah.
3 words all in one, and they all come together. I didn't know what Penny's music she was using or going to have today, but it's pretty cool. That's just the way God works that I'm struggling with light this morning. It's probably my eyes still got dirt in them from last night, I think. Wash them out.
Here, okay. Praise God,
he
took third place.
Yeah, God is good. 8-3, we wanted the victory, but we still got it in Jesus, right? So, but yeah, we was a lot better than the week before when you was there. This morning, I'm going to pray here in a second because, you know, I want to get out of the way. I want God to be glorified in every word and everything. But this week when I was in my quiet time with the Lord, God began to move in my heart, and I thought about last Sunday. Boy, wasn't it awesome that we had the Spirit of God move, and even before we had a message or anything, kind of like today, I felt the Spirit of the Lord moving on some healing. So that's God right. Has something
every
great. Week, you know. Every day in God is a good day. But anyway, I felt the Spirit really move some people into a different place, and I was praying with some people, and the Lord showed me that again this week and took me over to, it's kind of a prophetic word, I believe, today I've got. Everybody's like, oh, Lord, prophets coming out. Thus saith the Lord, whatever you want to. But it's, I believe God, it's something God wants us all to hear today. And I'm going to talk about our ability to trust God and fulfill our destiny.
Ooh.
And we're going to be over in the book of Exodus. If anybody's got a Bible, they can pull there. And we've got stacks of Bibles, so raise your hand. Don will help Penny get those Bibles, if you don't mind. There's also some pens over there if you want to write stuff down, take notes. We have some sheets of paper over there, prayer requests. You can use those. But now I want you to all participate. If God speaks something to you today,
he hasn't said yet.
Just like Blake had something to share, if you've got something to share, Don's waving something. Do what?
Oh, is this yours?
No, sir. I don't know whose that is.
That's my Bible.
Got my sword up here. This week, it was kind of strange, I guess, because I hadn't had this Bible picked up in a long time. The Touchpoint Bible. It's the New Living Translation, and it was there, and I opened it up, and God began to speak to me about this word that He gave me. How many know anything about the Book of Exodus? What is the Book of Exodus? Let me get my cheers out because I know I'm going to need them. What, the book of Exodus? It's what?
When the laws were given.
Well, in the end of it, I guess you could say it was at the end of Exodus, right? Absolutely. Anybody else? What was the Book of Exodus? What stands out to you if you remember the Book of Exodus above anything, maybe?
Book of Moses.
No, everybody don't speak at once now. What now?
Book of Moses.
It was a Book of Moses, absolutely. Anything else? Let me say this. There's a time when you want to get away from it all. Has anybody ever feel like there's just a time in our life that we want to get away from it all? There's just so much junk going on in your life and circumstances or your situation and you just want to get out from under it. Does anybody ever? And you, if you don't want to say amen, you can go like that. We do this in our CR men's group. You know, when we can relate to something, you can do that. I know you're still listening. You're still with me, okay? So, but you want to get away, get out from under it. It's just, you know, get away from it all. Sometimes we feel trapped, don't we? Sometimes we get caught in this web of circumstances that has your feelings running all crazy and out of whack. And so what I'm saying, sometimes we're saying, if I could just get a new place, if I could just get away from it all, I think I'd be better. I mean, he's ever felt that. Can I get an amen or something?
Amen.
All right. So if only I could start a new life, you know, let's just start over. Do something different. The Book of Exodus is basically a story of escape from slavery. It's getting out from under it all. That's what it's about. The children of Israel were living in misery. They were under bondage, under slavery. Who was the children of Israel? God's chosen people, right?
Mm-hmm.
What had happened, and let's bring it up to where we're going here. What had happened way before time? Who was before Moses? Abraham.
Isaac. And Jacob.
And Jacob.
And then Joseph.
But what happened along the way? What did God tell them? What was God's covenant? What was God's covenant with Abraham? I mean, what was Abraham? The father of what?
Faith.
Why? Because God told him that what? He was going to, first of all, he sacrificed his son. He was told to sacrifice his son. And he had to put all his trust in God, didn't he? He said, I want to lay your son as an offering. So that was the beginning of it. And so Abraham was faithful. And he did what God told him. But God told him he was going to what? Give him the promised land, wasn't it? Boy, y'all are like a bunch of cows looking at a gate this morning. I got to get y'all up to stirred up here a little bit. Let me keep going now. So the Book of Exodus is going up to where Moses is here in Exodus 3. We're going to be there. All these years, the children of Israel were captured and were enslaved by who?
Pharaoh
or the Egyptians, right? And the Egyptians, so they were in bondage all these years. Now, what is it that we talk about in CR a lot of times? That, you know, what are our addictions, our bad habits, or whatever in our life? It's not our problem. What's our problem most of the time in our
life?
And circumstances of life is what keeps us in bondage most of the time in our life.
We can't handle it.
We can't handle it. We're in a way, I'm being careful here, but we somewhat welcome it because we get used to it, don't we? Mm-hmm. Sometimes we just get used to where we're at, and we just get it's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
Comfortable.
That's right.
We get comfortable in our own skin. We get comfortable in the things of life that really isn't what God wants us to be in.
Yes,
that's right.
And time goes by, and you find yourself in the same circumstances in life. Come on now. I know I'm just turned. I just had another year in my life last Sunday, 52 years. Time gets by, and things happen, and kids grow up. And the next thing you know, you're looking, and you're white-headed, and you're looking in the mirror, and you're wondering, what happened with time? Does anybody feel like that sometimes? Man, if I could have just done this, if I could have done that.
Come on.
And life can become our prison. It can become our prison, and we can long to become, free from our jobs, our marriage, our health.
Yes.
We can long to, but do we really do something about it?
No.
Do we really begin to trust God and what His Word tells us? The promises of God to Abraham, Isaac, He said it will be passed on from generation to generation.
Yes.
The blessings of the Lord will be on you.
Yes.
And I've promised you the land flowing with milk and honey.
Come on.
That I'm going to give you the desires of your heart.
Come on.
But these people, the Israelites, had somewhat succumb to the mundane, everyday, it's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
God ain't happy with it, folks. God is not happy. This is the word of the Lord. God is not happy with you sitting still in life and just sitting in your place and on your laurels to where you're not moving forward. You're not progressing and trusting in Him.
Amen.
And believing that there is something better.
Yes.
There is something better in your life. And Exodus is a story of how God delivered the Israelites and from slavery in Egypt and give them an opportunity to form their own very identity.
Ooh, that's good.
You see, God had a plan and purpose. They were His chosen people, right? Same way with us. He knew you before the foundation of the world, the Bible says.
Yes.
Not only did He know you before you were even in your mother's womb, it says in the Bible, but He also, predestined you.
Yes. Yes.
He's predestined every man and woman in this room. Now, it's our choice to choose to believe Him and to believe that word that we're saying today and the word that He said, that I've called you and I've called you out into a place of predestination, and that place is that you will be prosperous, you will be blessed, and it's not just over there, over yonder, and that's all well and good. We can sing about the here and after, and that's awesome. Older I get, the more I realize what the old timers are singing about in the gospel. It's music and everything. They begin to long for over there because, you know what? They're sick and tired of right now.
Yeah.
But God wants you to be blessed right now.
Yes.
He said in John 10:10, the thief come to what? Kill, steal, and destroy. Who's the thief? The devil, the enemy, the one that tries to confuse your mind, to keep you into slavery, into the bondage of life. That life that says you're never going to change. That life that tells you you ain't worthy.
Come on.
You can't go to church. You're still cussing like a sailor. You drinking over here on this day, and then you're gonna go to church. Well, and it's a lie from Satan. It's the thief that's trying to destroy you.
Yes.
It's the thief that's trying to destroy your marriage and get in the mind of everyone, even the believers, because they do not understand their true identity.
Yes.
And who they are in Christ.
Yes.
And Christ in them. These guys didn't have Jesus on the scene right then. Think about it.
Mm-hmm.
What did they have? The Word. They had the Word of God through the prophet, through the prophetic Word. So God says, you know what? I've seen the misery, He told them in Exodus 2. I've seen the misery of the Israelites. I've heard their beck and calls, and I'm going to do something about it.
Yep.
It's time. It's time to do something about it. Some of you, it's time to do something about it.
Come on.
I told you it's going to be a prophetic word. It may be in your face, but I'm telling you, God wants you to move. He wants you to get out of the place you're in. It may be a good place, but guess what? He's got a better one.
Come on.
It may be the worst place in your life. He's got a better one. But it takes faith. It takes trust in believing that He is who He said He is.
Yes.
Now, here we go. The covenant promise of God does not change. Even if our circumstances do in life. I've seen so many good people that are not going to church. It breaks my heart. They've either been church hurt, a pastor has hurt them, the church has hurt them, someone in the church. Everywhere I go, I see people I went to church with that's not going to church. Can you imagine God's heart breaking right now? Same way it was breaking for these guys, the Israelites, His chosen people. Same way it broke when Adam and Eve chose to fall in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
It's still breaking today. Mm-hmm. He don't want your marriage destroyed. He don't want your kids on drugs. And He don't want the enemy destroying your life. Jesus said, but I've come that you can have life and have it more abundantly.
Yes.
The life that God can provide is so much better than you can even imagine.
Yes.
The identity in Christ is way far more than you can even imagine or grasp a hold of. And God's love never changes. His love never changes, like that song we sing often. And God has a plan, and whatever or whoever is willing to allow Him to fulfill His plan, He will make a way of escape. 1 Corinthians 10:13. You hear me quote it all the time. One of my favorite scriptures. He will make all things work together for what? The good of those who are called, what? According to His purpose.
That's right.
Not our purpose.
That's
we
right.
get that all wrong. We just quote half of it.
Yep.
Don't we? Oh, He'll work all things out for the good. For the good. We'll stop there sometimes. But it's for His purpose in life.
Mm-hmm.
What's His purpose in life for you and I? To worship Him. To come and have a relationship with Him. It was the whole relationship when He created mankind. So that they could walk with Him in the garden. So they could have an experience. A relationship is what? It's somebody joined together. Why He uses marriage as an analogy of us married to Him. It's why a relationship is something, oh, it has to take work and time, doesn't it?
Communication.
Yeah. And the reason the body of Christ is suffering today, they do not know their identity in Christ and who they are. Just like the children of Israel. They are struggling with the facts of the matter. The truth can't set them free. But it can indeed if we really understand and know who Jesus is and who Jesus can be in our life. Now, today we're going to talk about Moses a little and how God called him and used him. Now, I wanted to use the children of Israel to bring you up to where we're at. But I want to talk a little bit about Moses. Who knew Moses? Who was Moses? Boy, I preached too long. You got quiet on me. Who was Moses? From a little baby, what happened?
He was a slave, and he was...
Moses was a baby from what? A Hebrew woman.
Put in a basket, go down the road.
Put in a basket? Why was he put in a basket?
Because they were slaying babies.
And why were they slaying babies?
Because of the males. They only wanted to keep the females.
And why was that?
To make more babies, but make them for the Pharaoh.
No.
It's close.
Well, they were afraid of it. Jewish baby was
going to
be the Messiah.
Ah! They had heard of this man named Jesus. So what is the enemy going to do?
Kill.
Destroy. So, Moses, only Hebrew little baby boy, his mama put him in a basket. Said, well, I don't want him to kill my baby. Shoved him down the river. What is that's the name of what Moses means? Anybody know? You look back here. Exodus 2. Later, it says later he was older. The child's mother brought him back to the princess who adopted him. Who adopted him?
Pharaoh's daughter.
She's seen him, or her servant seen him. And said, there's a baby, pulled him out of the water. How many know that God is ready to use whatever he got to use to get you to where he needs to get you?
Yes,
there is no hell on earth or any demonic demon that can stop God and his power and what he wants to accomplish in our life.
Amen.
Now he used this Pharaoh's daughter, the one that put the decree to kill every baby, and said, okay. God said, well, Passover, everything he's done up to here it is. And it says, and the princess named him Moses, for she said, I drew him out of the water. That's what his name means. I drew him out of the water, Moses. That's what that name means. Pretty cool, huh? Now you go on back over to 3. And so here we are, talking about Moses. Exodus 3:4. When the Lord saw... Everybody there? I'll go back a little bit. One day Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro. Let me stop real quick. Moses grew up. He was like... kind of like a prince. I mean, he had everything in the Egyptian name. But they found out who he was, right? And so what did he have to do? He had to run. He had to flee. So he flee into the desert, Midian, and running. Because of why?
He killed a man.
Can God use whoever he wants to use?
Yes. Amen.
All throughout the Bible, the men and women of God, either they're misfits,
yeah,
or they're totally like irrational people, messed up people. How many messed up people we got in here today? Amen, amen. Bible says he take the foolish things of the world. He can take the foolish things of the world to what?
Confound
the wise. What does that mean?
They'll scratch their head at us.
The world and all its knowledge and those who think they know everything, God can take anybody he wants and use them for the kingdom of God.
Yes.
For his purpose and his plan. Yes. So here we see Moses. He not only killed a man and run the desert, he found him a woman. And he had a baby. And so, you know, life's plugging along, but in the backside of his mind, there's something missing. There's something he knows deep down within. There's something missing. How do you know what I'm talking about? We got to have something more. You can't find it all in a bottle. You can't find it in any spirits. You can't find it in any drug or woman or man. You can only find it through the power of the Almighty, and that is being born again in the Spirit. Because we're lost without the Spirit. We're being led by the flesh throughout our life. So here's Moses. And we get to 3 here. He's run, but the angel come, it says, and Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he went deep into the wilderness near Sinai, the mountain of God. Suddenly the angel of the Lord appeared to him as a what? Blazing fire in a bush. How many know that God can speak through a bush? Mm-hmm. A burning bush at that. Mm-hmm. He can show up. Moses was amazed because the bush was engulfed in flames, but it did not burn up. Amazing. Moses said to himself, "Why isn't that bush burning up? I must go over and see this." Stop right there a second. How many know the enemy's deceptive? Mm-hmm. He's deceptive. He's the counterfeiter.
Yes.
He's the Antichrist. He will come and he will try his best to make you think this is the best thing in your life.
Yes.
Remember that. Because it's going to be part of it. And when the Lord saw that he had caught Moses' attention, God called him from the bush, "Moses, Moses," he said. "Here am I," Moses replied. Now, when God speaks, sometimes we're like, "You speaking to me, Lord?" Don't you? "You speaking to me, Lord?" Notice, though, Moses, what he says. What did he say? "Here am I. Here am I." It's the word the Lord gave me. Sweet guys, are you here? Are you able to say, "Here am I, Lord"? Or are we cowering down on the backside of the desert trying to fulfill things in our life that mean nothing?
Come on.
Amen.
That mean nothing. We can make all the money in the world. We can win all the races we want to win. We can marry the most beautiful woman or man and have the best looking, but I'm telling you, without God, we're still void and empty.
Yes.
We're still missing something.
Yes.
And Moses knew enough to say, "Here am I." Because when God comes on the scene, whether it's in a burning bush or whether it's from an angel speaking from on high, just like he did to Mary and spoke into her life and said, "You're going to be with child," and her a virgin. I mean, when God comes on the scene, you're either going to say, "Here am I," or you're going to reject him. God gives us free will to choose.
Yes.
He gives man and woman that freedom from the garden, and he's still giving it today. Mm-hmm. And it's up to us to say, "Here am I."
Yes.
Now Moses was ready. He was ready for a change. Mm-hmm. That's my word today. Are you ready?
Come on.
Are you ready? Are you ready for a change, JoJo? Are you ready for change, Blake? Are you ready, Chad, for change? God's challenging us right now to say, are you willing to say, "Here am I, Lord"? We sung that song, "Lead Me to the Cross." Are you really ready to go to that cross? Because I'm telling you, God ain't into playing games. He said, if you're lukewarm, what? I'll spew you out of my mouth.
That's right.
It ain't enough to dabble in God.
Come on.
You won't have enough.
Yes.
You won't finish the race like Paul said.
Mm-hmm.
You won't even be in the fight. I'm telling you, the devil's bigger.
Come on.
You've got to be empowered with the truth that can set you free, but also the truth that's going to make you believe every word that comes from God. And through this word, when you begin to believe it, you begin to get empowered by it. The word, when you face adversity in your life, the devil loses in the name of Jesus every battle. I read the end of the book. He has no power. He has nothing over you or your family or your children. Tanya isn't here today because she went to go get her son. We've been praying for him for months now. She's gone. He said, I'm done. I'm ready. I'm ready to give it up. This one we prayed for. He's ready to give it up. He give it up. That one and everyone in this room. You had a praying grandmother. You had a mother. You had somebody in your life. Moses didn't have anybody, but he was willing to say, here am I, Lord. Here, my Lord. Oh, Lord. Readiness means a right relationship with God and a knowledge of where we are at the present. Let me say that again. Readiness means a right relationship with God and a knowledge. Where's the battle? In our mind. Of where we are right now at the present. And half the time, oh guys, we're so busy telling God where we want to go. And most of the time we really don't hear God. We can't see God in anything in our life. We're like the ship in the ocean with a storm. Just wherever the wave leads us. I know this ain't popular, but listen, you got to hear this today, because if you're not ready, he's going to eat you lunch. He's going to come and destroy everything that started in your life. And God's wanting to challenge some of us today. He's wanting to make you ready. And readiness means to be in right relationship with God, because when you're in right relationship with God, guess what? No weapon formed against you shall what?
Prosper.
There is no weapon the devil has that can beat you.
Come on. Yeah. Yes.
Out of the word, you speak it.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the time in our life, we're speaking negative. We're speaking unfaithful. We're speaking unbelief. I know I'm guilty as anybody in this room. And our health gets bad. Sometimes I get on the pity party and I want to just lay in the bed and say, oh, Lord, just take me on home, Jesus. That ain't God's plan, though. His plan is that my family prosper. His plan is that God, we be blessed and that we have a meaningful life. And even though we know the circumstance might be, unless God intervenes, our lives need to be dependent on that one thing totally. Humility is one of the key ingredients as a Christian. Because the fact that when you're humble and you realize that I ain't got this thing, I can't do this on my own. We talk about it every week in CR, don't we? The whole key is step one, admitting what? We're powerless.
Yeah.
We're powerless. We're powerless over our addictions, our bad habits, the hang-ups. What's the hang-ups? Doing the same thing over again and again and again. The insanity. But even though we can, in any circumstance, begin to understand, well, Lord, here am I, like Moses. You know, it's pretty funny that even when we get over here a minute ago, God didn't bring anything up about Moses' past, did he?
No.
He just killed a man, didn't he? Mm-hmm. Is that a judgmental God?
No.
How many people out there look at God as this big old dude? That ain't it. He's a loving God. This is God. Come on, sit in Daddy's lap. Come on, sit in Daddy's lap. You ready to sit in Daddy's lap today? I know you need me. I love them footprints in the sand. That time in your life when you feel alone. Somebody needs to hear that this morning. You feel like you're all alone. There's nobody with you. God says, well, that's all right. You one footprint right there. I'm going to carry you through this time. Yep. I'm going to carry you through it until you get to the place that you need to get to. Yeah. Exodus 4 shows that Moses, even though he was ready, allowed doubt to creep in. If you look over there in 4, it goes on down and it starts showing. But Moses protested again. You see, Moses was like, here I am.
But.
Boy, that holy but. Oh my gosh. How many know and use it? Lord, I know you call me, but I just ain't ready yet. I gotta do this. Well, I just ain't ready to try. Listen, if you think you're going to get ready, you might as well give up and forget it. It ain't about that. Now, there is a part that you have to be discipled, and you have to be ready in that spiritual part of your life to face that. But God's just looking for a willing vessel.
Yes.
God's just looking for somebody that's humble enough to say, you know what, Lord? My Lord, I've been spent 25 years doing drugs, but God, I've failed all these years. But yet, I just, here I am, Lord. I remember when God got a hold of me. That's all. I didn't have nobody taught me how to pray. Nobody told me that you had to sit down and you got to say, oh, this Lord in the name of Jesus, and you have to pray. No, all I knew was what I knew as a child, that I believed in Jesus, and I believed that He saved me when I was a kid, but I didn't have a Lord, and I needed a Lord all them years. But nobody discipled me and taught me that, about the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. So I was in a lifestyle all them years of, I got this. But when I called out, and all I knew, I was at the point of the crossroad of my life, and I said, Jesus, that's all. I need you. Save me. That's all it took. Bam! Devil's out. Jesus is in.
Amen.
A lot of times we seem to allow every situation that is good and bad dictate our lives.
Yes.
Our families, our present situation as it may be, we need to trust the Lord despite whatever feelings there might be. We need to trust the Lord in that. Psalms 23 tells us, everybody knows the Psalm 23, don't they? He restores my soul. He guides me in the path of righteousness. Oh, hallelujah. He, for His name's sake, not for mine. We leave that one out. For His name's sake, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for You are with me, Lord. Your rod and your staff. What is the rod and the staff? Come on, Penny. Karen, where's she at? I hear something.
Who is to protect the flock?
Word and I don't know.
The rod and the staff were for guidance and correction.
That's right. Boy, we didn't want to hear that one, though, did we now? Well, the rod is for guidance. That shepherd, he goes through and he's a, you know why? The snakes out there. Whoo! They's the enemies out there, and that rod, he's whacking that thing around. But then sometimes when that sheep goes away, he's got that hook staff, and he reaches out there and grabs it, pulls it back. Get over here! Get over here! That's what that's all about. That's what the shepherd uses. That's awesome, isn't it? So, I fear no evil. You're with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of what?
My
enemy. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. We're looking in the mirror, guys, all the time in our life. We're looking back most of the time, and we're trying to live circumstances that God ain't even, He don't even concerned with.
That's
like
right.
Moses, he wasn't concerned that he killed a man. That's none done.
Yep.
And listen, today, if you're a child of the living God and you've repented of your sins, guess what? It's in the sea of forgetfulness, the Bible says. It's under the blood. Praise the name of Jesus. Somebody needs to shout right there with joy. I don't know about you, but that makes me happy. And so when Moses says that here in 4, you see that he had some doubt. He began to doubt, and doubt creeped in. Even though God Himself had called him out. How many know that that happens?
Yep.
Right when you get to where you think you're fixing to step on into the next the promised land.
Something else.
Oh my gosh, life situations smacks you on the face, don't it? Or knocks you down. Or it gets into your mind. The soul of man is what? Our mind, our will,
and emotion.
Our mind, our will, and emotions. Body, soul, and spirit, man. Body, soul, spirit. Where does Satan attack? The mind. Because what?
It's where it makes the will, the decisions.
It makes the decisions. And most of the time, if we're not being led by the Spirit, come on, somebody.
Yeah.
If the Bible says to be led by the Spirit,
is life in
thee. But when we're led by feelings and emotions, we're being led by the flesh.
That's right.
The old nature. Romans 7. Come on now. So, what happened? Doubt crept in. But God wasn't taking that. He wasn't taking that with Moses. He had a plan. Somebody needs to hear me. God has a plan. Don't let the devil creep in doubt and fear. That's fear. Fear's the enemy in this whole situation. And he's begin to question. But Lord, I can't speak well. He had a stutter problem. That's what the theologians say, that Moses had a speech impediment.
Yeah.
And you called me to be a preacher? How many times have I said that one? You know, how many times have some of you said, well, I don't know, Lord. Kids? Are you kidding? With my patience? I'm just picking on. But you know what I'm saying? He'll call you into some of the the one place that you're like, oh, my Lord. Can you say, here am I? Can you say, here am I, Lord? Are you going to let doubt creep in or fear creep in and choke out the destiny for your life? It's a challenging word today, guys and girls. It's a challenging word. But the man or woman who is ready for God and His work is the one who will carry off the prize when it's summoned in the end. Oh, there's a prize laid up in heaven for everyone that believes and everyone that begins to walk in the destiny of God. Alan's been talking this week about Billy Graham. I don't know how many crowns that man's going to have, but I'm sure it's going to be full. I'm sure that God has got something planned spectacular. It says in His house is many mansions, He said. Jesus Himself said, if it wasn't right so, I wouldn't have told you. So there's mansions in heaven. There's prizes, but yet we don't do it for that. It ain't about that. It's because of the love and knowing the destiny and calling in our lives. Now, I'm going to wrap this up. Oswald Chambers says, whenever Jesus Christ
is in the ascendant, we are there. But we're not ready for an obscure duty.
English?
You see, it's easy when you're on the mountaintop. When Jesus is on the scene, the disciples was walking around like Peter. Jesus here. Peter, I can see him now. Get back. They push people away sometimes. That
yeah.
The hellness, the ones that, wait, look, step aside, we're coming through.
Yep.
But seriously, it's easy when Jesus is on the scene, but where is it when the devil's on the scene? When there's a place where you feel like you're in valley of shadow of death. When you feel like, you see what I'm saying? Feel like.
I don't know this man.
I don't know this man, Jesus. I wasn't with him.
That's right.
Pretty good rooster, right? But I'm going to tell you something. God didn't give up on Peter.
No, he didn't.
He ain't giving up on anybody in this room either. Your calling, your destiny in life. He says, Peter, I know you're going to deny me. Don, I know you're going to fail. You're going to fall short. But guess what? Everybody in this room does. Oh, my love. My power is what you need. Jesus told him, go wait over there. Because guess what? When I die on the cross and when I'm raised to life, everyone's going to have power then. He said, go and wait on the Holy Ghost. And when it comes, you will be endued with power.
Yes.
Oh, there's a lifeless gospel being preached. There's people who are just wanting a form of godliness and denying the power thereof. There's somebody out there that needs to hear this. It ain't a Pentecostal thing, but it is. There's one fact of the matter, and that is if you don't have the Holy Ghost power, you will deny Him.
Come on. Amen. Oh, that's right.
That's right.
He is the only way. He is sent to what? Holy Spirit. He's the conference. What else?
Guide us in all truth.
What else? Remind us of everything Jesus said. And what else?
Give us His power.
Give us His power. And what else? He convicts us of our sins, does He not?
Oh, yeah.
We leave that one out, boy. That was down at the bottom of the list, wasn't it? Glory to God. Well, yeah, I know. Come on now.
Yes.
Whew, that is down the list.
That breach.
You know what? That needs to be on the top.
Come on.
Yep.
Oh, when it's on the top, guess what? We're on the top. Yep. Because we begin to repent.
Yep.
We begin to repent.
Yep.
And then we're walking in the glory. We're walking in with Him. There ain't no one set of footsteps. That shadow valley, we can face it and we can say, oh Lord, I know You're with me. I know that the doctors are telling me I got cancer, but greater is He that is in me than is in this world. And I will not succumb to the lies of the devil. And you can take authority over that thing. Through the power of the Holy Ghost. Peter got up after he received the power, after denying Him three times, and preached. Mm-hmm. And 5,000 got saved. Glory to God. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Luke 12:40 says, You also must be ready all the time, for the Son of Man will come when least expected. What would you live like if you knew Jesus was coming back? Well, I'm challenging you today, Anna. Listen, we just put that off in the back cave of the mind, don't we?
Yep.
Boy, everybody gonna clean up then, ain't they? Woo! Let me get this thing right. Jesus is coming back. Wait a minute. Where's that church he's talking about?
Glory to God. Well, hear me today. He is.
Come on.
And no man knows the time. No woman knows. It might be, bam, right now. It says one will be at the well pulling out the water, and the other one will be over here. Bam, one's gone. One ain't. Why is that? One's gone to heaven. The other one's waiting on the other judgment. I'm telling you, this is real. Everything about this message today is in your face, and it is real. But can you say, here am I, Lord. I'm ready. I am ready, Lord, if you come right now. Come quickly, Lord. Glory to God. Because when you get to that point, nothing else matters. It's all about you and Him, and things begin to happen in your life like never before. The glory of God shows up. Things begin to happen that you were like, boy, this is a miracle. And it is. I'm going to wrap this up. The readiness of God means we have no choice in what we want to do. It means whatever God wants us to do, we're there. We're there. Whatever God wants you to do. That's the readiness of God. Being ready. I'm going to skip here a little because I want to get down to this point. I had this a couple examples real quick. We'll close prayer. Last night I was racing. You know, I'm going to use something. Going through life. That's what preachers should use, right? Going through life issues. We all are. I come off the corner and I kind of just washed up the track like that. I didn't even feel nothing. But when I finished the race, I come in and my right side quarter panel was caved in. Wow. Daddy didn't even see it. He's all excited too. But sometimes we can't see what's going on in our life. Mm-hmm. We don't have a mirror in the cars I race. And you can see from right here to right here. Peripheral vision of here up because you got a helmet on and you're looking through this. And you're running about 100 mile an hour sideways down a 3/8 mile oval track. So within a split second, everything can change. They don't let us have a mirror because we have a spoiler on the back where we couldn't even see anyway if we wanted to, really. So this morning when I was thinking about all this, I began to think about how that a driver can run more consistent laps without looking in the mirror. You know what I'm saying? If you stay focused on what you're doing here, you start running consistent laps. And you get faster. And you get faster. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times now, and NASCAR's a little different. They've got this all kind of different stuff going on. And they're half the time on these super speedways because they're just going. And they keep going faster. And they're just on kind of a... They're looking in the mirror like, ooh, and they move over here out of to block this and to block that. Dirt track racing's where it's at. So, but when God started showing me this, He started telling me, that's the way I want you. He said, remember my scripture, He says, when you grab a hold of the plow,
you don't look back.
You don't look back. Any farmers in here, anybody ever plowed a road? When you start looking off, what happens? You get down to the end, and then if you look back, that thing's just like snake, isn't it? Man, how am I going to, I can't plant that row. You got to what? Do it all over again. Do it all over again. How many want to do it all over again?
No.
I'm too old to do this all over again. I'm too old. Now, last thing, God's reminded me of this. How many ever, I'm a racer. I used to race little motorcycles too.
How many know about motocross racing? Well, now they've got these tracks, and they're like, it's like all rhythm stuff. Back when we raced, it was just, you know, out in the fields and things. And now they're in stadiums. But they have these triple jumps and sometimes quad jumps and then these big sky jumps. And so there's certain things in how they get in a rhythm to land on all those jumps. And if they get out of rhythm, oh, it ain't good. Because they're flying through the air. I mean, the length of this whole building sometimes, 80, 90 mile an hour. And what happens, listen to this, there's something called, they can get in a situation, it's called a panic rev. Have you ever heard that?
No.
It's called a panic rev. And if you watch, and sometimes you'll see it, that bike will be going across, and they have a way to some level them off just a little bit with the throttle. And that tire, the spinning of that wheel will make the force go down a little bit if they're like this, if they're starting to go too far this way. And that's pretty cool. It's a control thing. Ooh, that'll preach too. Control. So they, if they start going too far in this situation, in a nosedive, the instant nature of a racer like that is to get in what they call a panic rail. And it goes, they go wide open. You see where I'm going with this? God said this morning, don't get in a panic rev. Don't get in a place where you think you're fixing to nosedive and you're fixing to crash. Because I'm going to fulfill my purpose.
Right.
I'm going to fulfill and do everything that I said I'd do. He does not change His mind. He's the same today as He was yesterday, and He will be forevermore. The only thing you have to worry about, don't get in a panic rev. Get in the place where you trust Him and be ready. Be ready and be steadfast in Him. And be steadfast in Him. And He can put us where He likes to. He can put us in a pleasant situation or in a tough situation. And sometimes He does that, don't He? I was having my coffee this morning, and Penny got this little thing from a girl. It's kind of cool. Anybody seen these?
Yeah.
These little flowers? And God spoke to me and wanted me to do this. It's an illustration. The little flowers just sitting there, isn't he, it's just kind of lifeless. But watch when you put the light on him. Oh. When you put the Son of God in your life, you begin to start, things begin to start happening in your life. Jesus begins to move the mountains. He begins to make things happen in your life that you can't even fathom. And the more you apply the light, the more He moves in your life. You take Him out of your life, and guess what happens?
That preaches.
He stops because your sin separates you from Him. God gave me the vision one time. Ronnie, I just want you to face this. God can't look upon sin, it says in the Bible, Old Testament. He wanted to help David. He wanted to help all. He run for the caves. But until we get our heart willing to say, I got to have you, Jesus. I can't be without you.
That's right.
I'm ready. Here am I. Here am I. Don't wait. Don't think you're not ready. There's a reason you're here. There's a reason you heard this message. God is ready. to take you to another place.
Yes.
He's got a plan and purpose. And if Moses hadn't said, here am I, even though he faltered and doubted and whatever, but eventually God says no. He give him a way. He makes a way, doesn't he? He makes a way in all our life. And I want to encourage you. Don't let the devil stop what started here today and last week and the things in your life or the year's progress or whatever. You have to stay on the path. You can't win the race if you ain't in it.
That's right.
But if you're in it, you can win it. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes.
Amen. All right, we're going to pray. And I want God to, if there's anybody here, everybody bow your heads with me if you don't mind. And you know, the burning bush is a symbol of everything that surrounds the ready soul. It's the symbol of the ready soul. It's a life ablaze with God. That's why God used the burning bush. He wanted Moses to get out of that desert place, quit trying to make it on his own and do things that he didn't tell him to do or had a plan for his life. And if you're here today and you say, Lord, I've kind of been, you know, on the backside of the desert like Moses or David or one of these guys, and I know you're calling me. You may not even know what it is that He's planning in your life, but today I want you to surrender to that one word. If He's calling your name, can you say, here am I? Here am I? If that's you, just lift your hand and acknowledge that God's calling you, and you want to, amen. I want you to hear me this morning, Lord. Just acknowledge it before Him. The Bible says, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And I don't know about y'all, but I need to be saved. I need to be saved, not just as a one-time experience. Thank you, Lord, for them hands. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. If you're here and you don't know Him as your Lord and Savior, today you can know Him. The Bible says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If that's you today, call on the name of the Lord. Call on the name of the Lord. Let's pray this prayer together. Father God,
I believe
that You send Your Son.
That You send Your Son.
To die for my sins.
To die for my sins.
I believe. That He was Your Son.
That He was Your Son.
Now I want to accept Him as my Lord and Savior.
Now I want to accept Him as my Lord and Savior.
I surrender. I need You.
I need You.
I repent of my sins.
I repent of my sins.
I place my faith in You.
I place my faith in You.
Save me.
Save me.
Deliver me from the evil one.
Deliver me from the evil one.
Now I believe. In my heart.
That I'm saved.
Amen.
Amen.
If you prayed that prayer and you really believe it, the Bible says that He wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Yes.
And that is, no man can take that away from you.
That's right.
But I'm telling you, it says, with the mouth, confession is made. Now I want to challenge you, if that was you and you been for the first time surrendered, or if you rededicated your life, tell somebody. Come and share it. If you want to share it openly, you can. But I want you to know that everybody in here is praising God for that. And the Bible says the angels are rejoicing in heaven. Can you give God some praise in here?
Amen.
If somebody wants to give, hallelujah. Now, if you're here today and you've been freed from something and God spoke to your heart, I want you to acknowledge that. And just if anybody wants to share something, I would love for you to share that and take a couple minutes. And then Pastor Chad's going to pray over our offering. And anybody that's never been here before, we don't pass a plate. We have a box over here that you can put your prayer request in, your comments in,
You can just tell us what, if you don't like this church, why, that's fine. That's all right. But if you have some tithe, your weekly tithe or offering, you can make a check to Ministry House, and it all goes into that box. But would anybody love to share anything that God might have spoke to their heart that that might benefit somebody here else besides what else the Lord has spoke today?
I saw a video this morning, and I just want to tell you, it was just an awesome analogy. But when God is testing us and trying us, think of it like a slingshot. Hmm. So He's pulling you back. But buddy, when He lets go, you're going to soar.
Ooh.
You know what I mean? I just thought it was a great.
That's good. That's
very good.
Absolutely. Sometimes show and tell is good, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Weep, 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 weep. I love that. Yes.
I just want to say something. My life's not always been easy. And I've definitely had a lot of trials and errors. I'm a recovered meth addict of 8 years.
Well, congratulations. Praise God. Yes.
I just had to get away from those people. I lost my children, and I had to turn to God. I met Will 6 years ago, and he's clean and sober. He's been my rock.
Praise God.
Second of all, because God's my first.
Good. Amen.
And, you know, I had some issues with myself and, you know, hormonal issues like we all of us women have. And I haven't been the nicest person lately. And I definitely need God in my life now because after coming today, I see where I failed as a person. And my professional life and my personal life. Mm-hmm. And I hurt somebody a lot the last few weeks. And I'm sorry. I said some really ugly things.
Bless your soul.
And I know that it's the devil that's in my head because if a God was 100% there, I know that I wouldn't have hurt this person so bad. And I shouldn't have. And Will and I are not married. And one day I hope that we can do that together, which is not there yet. But I'm sorry. And I know that I need God, because if I don't, I can't move forward, and I can't be that person that He knows that He created me to
yes.
be.
Yes, yes, yes.
So I need that help, and I need those prayers.
Amen.
Amen. Just to pray for me that I can be that person that I am.
Yes,
you need to come on
y'all
here.
Just stretch
you
your
need,
hands out. With
what
them
you
two
need
of.
Is a... infilling of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
That's what
thank
you need.
You.
And just come in here today. Melissa talked me into coming. And I need you to come. And I've been wanting to come to celebrate recovery, but most of y'all just said that.
Yep.
Because I got to work for my family.
The devil is a liar. He wants to try to keep us all from that. All right, guys, let's just stay in a state of worship. And Lord, we're going to let the Lord minister to my sister. Tell me your full name.
It's Heather Marie Ross.
Heather Marie Ross. Father, this beautiful child of yours, God has opened her heart up, and God, I thank you for that, because I know right now you're feeling it. You're feeling it with your love, you're feeling it with your forgiveness, and in the name of Jesus, Lord, empower Heather, empower her to trust you right now that you are forgiven, Heather. You are forgiven in the name of Jesus. Yeah. Just receive it right now. That's it. Just breathe Him in. Just take some big old breaths. Surrender to Him. I want you to just do something. It's strange. Just that's it. Just surrender to Him.
Imagine Him just
Father.
Pouring out. It's pouring
thank
rain outside.
Jesus.
Right now, His Spirit is
thank
just pouring
Jesus.
Down on you. And your hands are raised to receive it. And it's just pouring yeah. through your hands, through your body.
Thank you.
And His Spirit is filling you. What it is you're looking for is not selfless.
Holy Ghost, power,
what you're looking
power.
For right now is power by the Holy Spirit living in you. You want Him to convict you of sin before you even do it. You want Him to give you the power to act as Jesus does. You need His Spirit in you to actually be Jesus in you. That's what you need. So just receive it. Receive it.
The Bible says out of your belly will flow
rivers
of living water.
Yes.
And in the
the name of Jesus, we command any demonic spirit to be free from her. And in the name of Jesus, you have no authority over her. And her family, her situation is under the blood. That power in the name of Jesus right now. Touch, heal, deliver, set free. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Amen. Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. Give God some praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else need some special prayer?
God's going to do it.
Thank you, Lord.
You're not. God's going to do it for you.
Glory to God.
Okay.
Hallelujah.
Anybody else want a re-infilling of the Holy Spirit? Anybody else want to come and pray?
Thank you, Lord.
All right.
Thank you, Lord.
You gonna pray over the offering? Yeah.
Restoration.
Amen.
Restoration right now.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. All right. Chet, you got a word or you want to share?
Yeah, I actually, during worship, you know, I said this when we first started CR, and it was when Jesus was carrying his cross up to Golgotha, there come a point in the crossroads, the time that the cross got so heavy that he needed a helping hand, and they got Simon, he was a centurion, mm-hmm. and they got him to carry the cross and help bear the cross for Jesus up there, you know. And I always use that as accountability. But there comes a time in each and every one of our lives that maybe you don't have that accountability, maybe you don't have somebody to call out to. And just like with the footprints in the sand, the Lord says, when your cross gets too heavy,
mm-hmm.
I will carry it for you.
Yes.
What Jesus is saying. I will carry it when it's so heavy that you can't bear it.
Yes.
So don't be fearful of the cross. Don't be fearful to carry this thing. Because I'm there to help carry it for you.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
He demonstrated that. He showed that. It wasn't just about, and that's mm-hmm. what he was showing me this morning. It wasn't just about accountability.
Mm.
It was the point that when you don't have it, I'm there to help carry it.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm there to help carry it.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
That goes in every aspect of your life.
Amen. Thank you,
Lord. The Lord wanted me to share that, you know, and I wanted to be obedient with it.
Amen. Thank you for sharing
that forward.
Yes.
Receive it.
Receive it.
Amen.
Let's pray over our offering. We'll just thank you. I want to thank every one of you for coming out, you know, personally. It blesses our heart to see this house filled. It blesses
Amen.
Our heart to see you guys come. It really does. It is a blessing. It's a fulfilling to see people just show up hungry for the Lord.
That's right.
It fulfills our hearts. It makes the weak better.
Yes.
You know, it just does. It makes
right.
the weak better.
Amen.
I don't care what kind of week you've had. When you come in and see people hungry for the Lord, it just...
Yes.
It changes everything.
Right. Stirs you up.
Father, I thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Father, for these people, God. Thank you for everything that they bring, Father. Their presence, Father. Their tithes, their offerings, Father, everything that they bring, Lord. God, I ask you to bless them. Bless them, Father God. Lay your hands upon their finances, Father, upon their lives, Lord. Upon every area. Father, we thank you that you're our rock. Father, we thank you that you're our provider, Lord God. Lord, in everything that they need, Lord God, you would provide a way. You would make a way, Father. We just thank you and praise you, Lord. Ask you to bless the offering, Father. Ask you to multiply it, Lord God. For your kingdom purpose, Father. That's all this is about, Lord.
That's right.
Lord God, we surrender the rest of the day, God. I ask you to go with everyone here. Bless them, Father. Yes. Continue to minister to their heart throughout the week, Lord. These words that have been spoken, Father, through Ronnie, Father. I know it was through the Spirit, Lord God. I ask you to minister. Continue to minister that word, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Strengthen us, throughout this week, Lord God. We just give you glory and honor. Thank you. Praise you, Lord Father God. Until we meet again, Father, we ask you to keep us safe, Father.
Yes.
We give you glory and honor, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
If you guys want to...